And so we have a lot of kids in the room with us, which is always a lot of fun. It's encouraging. It's exciting to see so many kids that come out on Sundays, parents that bring their kids and have a desire to see their kids grow in the Lord. And that's always great. If you haven't filled out our Connect form yet, please do so. You can scan the QR code that you're going to find there behind me. You can go to hbc.info and fill that out just on your device, on your browser. Or if you like paper, you can fill out the paper Connect form in the black folder that should be just right at the end of your aisle. And if you plan on filling that out, then go ahead and do that and then pass it to the person next to you so they can use that as well if need be. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 today, and we're looking at our third pillar here at Harvest. So far, we've looked over these last few fifth Sundays. We've taken the time to look through two other pillars. We've looked at, they're over here on this side, unapologetic preaching, which is proclaiming the authority of God's word without apology. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. We've looked at unashamed adoration, lifting high the name of Jesus in worship. That's in John 4:24. And then today we're looking at unceasing prayer, believing firmly in the power of prayer. And so we're going to spend some time in Ephesians chapter 6 and looking at verse 18 through the message today. Now, our text is just one verse long. And so you're thinking, great, we're going to get through this really quick, right? Well, just hold on. I know there's kids in here. We're going to try to keep their attention going and everything. But there's just so much, even in just that one verse, that is so important for us to unpack and to uncover concerning prayer. Now, let me start here. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that most of us, if you're a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer and you would claim Jesus as your Savior now, I would go ahead and say that you probably, and I hope it's true for all of us, that you believe firmly in the power of prayer. More precisely, we believe as Christians, as believers, not only in the power of prayer, but in the power of the God that we pray to. His power is indisputable. Our family has a sign in our home that reads this, and actually, I have it wrong in my notes. And so if you read the sermon preview and the newsletter this week, you would have had the wrong phrase there as well. I thought it said, that just goes to show how much I pay attention. I thought it said, "He who kneels the most stands the best," which is a great quote. We've probably heard that many times, a lot of us, but it actually says, "Who kneels before God can stand before anyone." Now, the thought is all the same. It's all really relating to the same thing. It's about praying and kneeling before God, and in doing so, we can stand in this life. It's a truth that we very easily understand, and it's exactly what we're going to see our text encourages us with, because we won't stand if we do not wholly rely on the presence and power of God in our lives. I'm certain that for many of us, when we pray, and I really believe that when you pray, it is truly from your heart, believing that God is able, believing that he can and will come through as you've seen him before, and that he will do so according to his will. I'm certain that's true for many of you. I hope it's true for all of you. But still, for some reason, here's the reality of the Christian life. We still don't pray as we ought to. And that's to pray unceasingly. It's true even for those that you might know and consider as great prayer warriors. They'll tell you the same thing. They don't pray as much as they should. But church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to pray, and we need to pray more. So to help us, God's word gives us many steady reminders concerning this, about the power of prayer and the necessity of living a life of prayer. And one of those reminders we find here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. I hope you have your Bibles open, and we're going to read this verse very quickly. Ephesians 6, verse 18, here's what God's word says: praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, in your notes and on the screen, here's what we're seeing this afternoon. As I live unto God, I ought to pray, first of all, continually. I ought to pray continually. That's what the writer of this book of Ephesians, Paul, that is telling us, praying at all times. Now, as I mentioned, this is a great verse on its own, but it becomes even more obvious how important and great this verse is when you consider the whole context and the passage that it's found in as well. Let's go a few verses back. If you have your Bible open still, let's look at verse 10. Here's what the word says. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then verse 11 goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God. That's very clear and easy for understand. This armor is of God. He is the one that suits, if you will, each believer with it. And why do we need it? Verse 11 continues, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What kind of schemes are those schemes of the devil? Verse 12 goes on to tell us that as true followers of Jesus Christ, we're not just in any kind of fight. I think it's important for us to be reminded of this. We're not just in a conflict against other men and other people. No, God's word tells us in verse 12 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's an even greater battle than just that. Because we are called to stand against rulers and against authorities. And that's pretty intimidating on its own, but notice what scripture tells us next, that we are to stand against cosmic powers. I can't even begin to understand what that means, but it's terrifying. Against cosmic powers, against this present darkness and spiritual forces that are evil. Those are things that for the most part are unseen, but they are very real. And there are things that we all face. And so Paul continues and goes on to say in verse 13, and here's what he essentially says. If you're going to stand firm, and we understand this, he and the Lord wants us to stand firm, but if you're going to stand firm, you really need to put on this armor. You need to, or else you won't stand. And so then in verses 14 through 17, Paul expands on what this armor is. It is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of gospel peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. All of this leads us then to verse 18, where we're at today. And this is where Paul brings prayer in. After all of that, that's where he mentions it. But let's not get confused on the order in which all of this comes. We do this thing where we say, okay, this is how it's given to us. That's how we go about it. We do that sometimes. Let's not be confused about that. He's certainly not proposing that prayer should be the last thing to check off your list. Well, let's be honest. Some of us, that's how we treat it. We shouldn't look at it that way. Prayer is not meant to be our go-to, but only as a last resort as we're battling through this spiritual warfare, right? No, Paul is clear. We should be seeking God in prayer. Notice what he says. It's really seeking God in prayer all the time. All the time. Why all the time? Let me give you a couple of reasons for this. Number one, praying at all times reveals my need. Praying at all times reveals my need. My need is for God alone. Listen, we all have needs. We go to the grocery store often through the week, and we buy food. And why do we do that? Because we need food. Otherwise, we're not sustained, and we're not going to make it another week. It should be the same with prayer, because we need God all the time in and for everything. You know what I don't need? I don't need someone who is just as damaged and muddled and error-prone and wretched as I am. I don't need that. I need God, who is the truth. I need him who's holy and righteous, who lovingly forgives, who washes away my unrighteousness and the unrighteousness of his own children by the blood of Jesus. I need the one who promises to keep me and who I know will keep me until the end. I need him who graciously protects, miraculously provides, and is always there. He's present. So I can always look to him and cling to him. You know, God is our salvation, and he is our only true hope. We need the only true God. And so praying at all times reveals my need, but secondly, it also does this. Praying at all times leads me to rely on him. Praying at all times leads me to rely on God. As I pray to God continually, I'm constantly reminded of just how weak and how unable I am on my own. Isn't that fun? But that's a reality. When we pray to God, we're reminded of this, that we need him, that we're nothing, and we're lost without him. You know, humanity cannot provide for its greatest need. The greatest need that humanity has is salvation, and we cannot earn or obtain it for ourselves. We can only depend on the grace of God and trust in Jesus. And if we can't do anything for ourselves in that greatest of needs to save ourselves, I can guarantee you this, we can't do anything for ourselves in anything else either. But God can, because he is God Almighty. And so can I tell you this? My strength and your strength, it shouldn't come from us. It should only come from him and reside in him, the source of all power, the God of heaven. You will fail and fall if you rely only in your own ability and your own strength. We need to depend on the only one who is dependable. We need to depend on God. Now you might be wondering, what is praying at all times? What does that look like? I don't think Paul intends for us to understand that we're supposed to sit, have our hands folded together with our eyes closed 24/7. That's not what he's saying. A lot of us, that's how we pray. We pray just like that. We fold our hands, we close our eyes, and we speak and we talk to God. By the way, that's not the only way to pray. And that's certainly not what Paul is encouraging us to do here. But because of the kind of people that we are, one of the biggest hurdles that we face in praying at all times is that if we're not careful, our prayer life is going to become dispassionate, disconnected, and eventually it'll disappear. And so there's things that we can do. And those things are fine. We can attempt to change things up, try to pray in different ways. We can change our position. I encourage you to do that earlier as we prayed before the message. Maybe it helps you to pray in a different way, to really draw yourself to the Lord in that way. You can do some fun different things when you're praying in groups or with your children and whatnot. And those things are fine. You know, we try to liven it up. We try to make it fresh again. But at the heart of it, here's the thing. Unless we consistently rehearse the gospel to ourselves and humble ourselves, seeing the God they were coming before, then our prayer life is never going to amount to anything that's truly real. Because it's not about how you pray, it's about who you pray to and how you come before him, recognizing who he is. So praying at all times is rather encouraging us to cultivate something, a life that is in constant and close communion with God. That's what Paul is encouraging us to. Constantly, closely in communion with God. Praying continually so that your relationship with God would actually become the strongest and most intimate relationship that you have. Obviously, for you to be able to pray this way and to have that close relationship with God, you have to have a relationship with Him first. And that's only through His Son, Jesus. You know, some people struggle with this whole idea of God being the one that we are the closest to, even above anyone that they love here on this earth, their family, their spouse, and all that. We struggle with the idea that this should be the most important relationship, the strongest relationship that we have. But let me ask you this then, shouldn't it be? Should it not be? Because without Him, we are doomed to an eternity of pain and suffering and separation from Him. And then we have to face the consequences of our sinfulness. I'm thankful for verses through Ephesians chapter 2 that says this, though. But God. Without Him, we're doomed. But God is rich in His mercy and love. And though many of us know this, we were dead, but now we are made alive through Christ. This is the same God we're praying to. And how incredible is it? Because you and I, you know, technology is never going to get to that point, but we cannot be in constant communication with one another ever. All right, signals drop all the time whenever we don't want them to. There's always those hills whenever you're driving that you're like, oh, I'm going to lose you. And then, you know, you can't do it. And then all of us, we all need rest. We all need to sleep. So we're not on the phone 24/7 with people. But here's the thing. With God, we can be in continual communication with Him at all times. And that's possible even whether we communicate with Him audibly or quietly. You know, we ought to be thankful because there are times when you and I need God very much. And that's that, you know, we need God all the time, but there are times where it's really obvious to us, right? And we just get to that point where like, I need you now, Lord. And you know, the amazing thing about our God is He's there. He's there and He hears us. There are times where we need Him desperately, and let's be honest, there is no comprehensible words that we're able to speak or utter out of our mouths. We just know we need God, and guess what? He hears us even then. Times when our sorrow is deep, when the tempting starts over again, times when our thoughts are in complete disarray. Times when the pressure just seems to be mounting more and more. Times when defeat and failure seem anything but inevitable. Or how about when sadness and disappointment cut us very deeply? There aren't always words that we're able to express to God in those times. Sometimes we can barely manage just saying, Lord, I need you. And sometimes it's not even in audible words, it's really just from our hearts. And even then, as we say this, even then, as we go to Him, as we cry out to Him in those times, using little to no words, God hears us. As we seek Him earnestly and continually. Church, I want to encourage you, pray at all times and in all things. Which brings us to the next thing. As I live unto God, I ought to pray continually and then yieldingly. That's surrender. We should be surrendered to God as we seek Him in prayer. And prayer is just that, it's humble submission before Him. It is submitting ourselves in how He answers, when He answers, and here's the tough one too, if He answers. Submitting ourselves to God through all of this. You know, I'm sure that like me, you've had that one prayer request that you sought God for very sincerely, continually. And you were convinced that God would come through on it. You were convinced that He might even come through the way that you had imagined it. And when you thought that He would. But then that's not what happened. You've probably been there. I've been there. And you know what my reaction has been? I get annoyed about it sometimes. I get bothered. I say, why, Lord? This just makes sense. I'm sure we've been there. You know, if you don't want to be honest about that right now, that's okay. He knows anyway. You know, I've had prayers where the doors were shut, and truthfully, I was left a little baffled. It doesn't always make sense to us. So what do we need to be mindful of in those times? What do we need to remember? I want to give you a list of things here very quickly. Number one, his ways are better than mine. God's ways are better than our ways. You know, this brings me to consider verses that either we should know or we should get to know, and get to know them very well. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He will do better and greater things than we ever could. In fact, Ephesians 3 tells us he's able to do far more abundantly than we could ever imagine. More abundantly than we might ask or think. And so let's be mindful of this. His ways are better. He doesn't need our help. He simply asks that we trust him. Number two, here's another thing to be mindful of. He knows things that I don't know. You know, I do this very consistently on Sundays. I keep reminding you these things about yourself and reminding myself this at the same time too, but we're really not that smart. We're not that bright. Can I tell you this? We're not that great. I keep telling you guys this over and over every Sunday, and for some reason you keep coming back. So, I mean, that's great, but that's just the reality. We're not that great. But God is. And God knows all things. You know, the fact that also we're very short-sighted in our prayers. You know, that's not totally our fault. It's how God actually made us. But you know why he did that? He did that so that we would trust him and rely on him and not on ourselves. You and I, we don't understand the past. We don't understand the present. We don't understand the future like God does. So it's much better for us to rely on his wisdom and his understanding rather than our own. That's what Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, lean not on your own understanding. Instead, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's surrender. Here's the third thing. He has it all under control. And I want to add two more words to that. I don't. He has it all under control. I don't. There's no reason for us to ever worry about anything, let alone what we bring to God in prayer and say, God, it's in your hands, but we're still worrying about it. You know, we convince ourselves that we have reason to worry, that it's even our right. But why worry when God has it? And here's a really cool thing for us to see is that as we trust him, he will even bring his peace upon us, a peace that we don't even understand. That's what Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So whatever you place in God's hands and even what you don't, remember that he is sovereign. He has it all. Here's the fourth thing. He cares more than I do. Now, some of you may not agree with me on this, but that is a reality as well. God cares more than you and I care. That's just true. 1 Peter 5, 7 instructs us to cast all our anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for us. You know, we care for us and we care for others. To a certain extent, right? Even when he comes to us. A lot of times we let our faulty, sinful desires and our emotions take the lead. But God knows what is actually best and good, and that's what he does. We often only care to be right, even when we know we're wrong, which is usually the case. Where God cares to do right, and he is always right too. He cares so much more than we do. Here's the fifth thing. He is more patient than I am. We don't always understand how God's timeline works. We don't understand when things should really take place. We have an idea of how things should happen and when they should happen, but we're often wrong. You know, this church here is an example of that. Harvest Bible Chapel in Barrie prayed for 12, 13 years, made many efforts into getting this started, to getting this campus launched. And every time, God kept pushing it back and saying, not yet, not yet. But we look at that and we think, that makes no sense. God, why not? He is more patient than we are. He knows things we don't. He has all things under control. You know, if it were up to us, we'd already have 2-3 more campuses already. You know, we just launched a capital campaign. If it were up to us, we would have met that total that we are hoping for. If it were up to us, we not only would have met it, we would have had all those funds that were pledged already in by now. That would be great. That seems to be us. And you know what God said? No. Man, that's frustrating, right? But we need to trust him. Because he is working through it all. This no is so hard for us to hear from God, but his plan is better, and so we wait on him. And as we do that, we surrender ourselves, we surrender our will, we surrender our desires, and we just keep on seeking his face. Going back to our main outline here, here's the third thing. As I live unto God, I ought to pray continually, yieldingly, and diligently. As we pray diligently, our devotion to him and faith in him is truly revealed then. If we're not diligent, then is our faith really in him? Are we truly devoted to him? Diligence, I believe, through our text is seen in that word all in verse 18. All prayer and supplication. Meaning we should not leave any stones unturned. And we should be thorough in our praying efforts. You know, it's that saying that a lot of you have heard. Harvest Barrie has it on one of their walls now. Expect great things from God, but also attempt great things for God. We need to be diligent. And yes, that means we should ask. But can I tell you this? We shouldn't only ask. Because prayer is not just asking. Prayer really is looking to God. Many times our prayers can be filled with nothing else than asking from God. And what kind of relationship is that? I want to give you an illustration. There's a picture that should pop up behind me, and there's some tools that are there. Right? Some of you are more familiar with tools than I am. I brought one of those tools with me here. And can anyone tell me what is this? Okay, very good. We have one person that knows what this is in here. That's great. You know, it may look like I know how to use this, but don't let looks fool you, okay? It's worn a little bit. It's been used, but I'm not very good with my hands, so I'm learning how to work with tools. But what I do understand, it's a construction worker. Some of you work with your hands here, and so you understand every single one of those tools and what to do with them. I understand some, and you understand every single one of them has a purpose. And so you use them for those purposes. But what would happen if, for example, a construction worker is building a house and he decides, you know what, I'm going to do something really cool. I'm only going to use a hammer to build this house, nothing else. Now, some of you are thinking, that's a pretty cool challenge. I wonder if I could do it. And others of you are like, I am not living in that house, guaranteed. You need some of the other tools that are given to you. Because can I tell you this, a hammer can't dig. A hammer cannot do any kind of electrical work. A hammer can't drill holes in the wall. I know, again, some of you are like, watch me. I'll show you. I'd rather not. You know, a hammer can't cut any pieces of wood. A hammer can't measure things accurately. And so you need to make use of all the tools that are given to you. And it's the same thing for us when it comes to prayer. We limit ourselves if we only pray in a way where really we're only trying to get to the asking part. You know what I'm talking about. No, our prayers to God rather should be a deep conversation, an intimate one with Him. Because in an intimate and close relationship with someone, you don't just talk about the weather. What do we call that? That's a surface relationship. And you know what else you don't do? You don't just repeat the same thing over and over again, over and over and over and over. That's not a close and deep relationship. No, with those you're close with, you have fresh, enjoyable, meaningful conversations. And the reality is, yes, sometimes it does get hard. We understand that. Sometimes we struggle at various points in our lives and in our prayer life, but every relationship takes constant, consistent work and effort to keep it meaningful and healthy. Diligence in prayer flows from a steady, ongoing, and genuine desire and pursuit of a real relationship with our Lord and Savior. I'm going to say that again. Diligence in prayer flows from a steady, ongoing, and genuine desire and pursuit of a real relationship with our Lord and Savior. So how can we do more than just ask? How do we make sure that our time in prayer with God is meaningful and draws us in closer to Him? Our pastoral team at Harvest does this on a regular basis, and you might have caught this, but when we pray through our pastoral prayers on Sundays, we proclaim our adoration of God. We confess our sins and our brokenness and our need for Him. We thank Him for who He is, for His greatness and His goodness. And then we plead before Him for His help by bringing those requests that we desire to see Him work through. And so it's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And all the while we pray through that so-called pattern, if you want to say that, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, it's all really in a spirit of submission and surrender to Him. And all of this is really even evidenced through Scripture. It's evidenced even in that model prayer that Christ gave us, right? Adoration, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Confession, forgive us our debts. Thanksgiving is implied in seeing God's daily provision. Give us our daily bread. Supplication, lead us not into temptation, Lord. Guide us. And surrender, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Let's look at the last thing and then we'll be done here this afternoon. As I live unto God, I ought to pray continually, yieldingly, diligently, and considerately. And this last point is obviously very simple enough. We are given a task here through that last portion there of the verse. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we should be alert, persevering in prayer for our fellow believer. That means we should not only consider ourselves, but also consider others and the needs of others and bringing them up to the Lord in prayer regularly. You know, maybe you grew up in a church like that. I certainly grew up in a church like that. We had midweek prayer meetings. Every Wednesday, sometimes on Thursdays, we'd gather together and we'd pray together and we had a list of things and we'd pray over those things. And, you know, unfortunately, a reality of that is that those were often the least attended church activities. And I think that just goes to our struggle as believers in this area of prayer. You know, and we don't have a midweek prayer meeting here at Harvest like other churches used to, and that's okay. We have other things and other ways that we want to encourage you in continual prayer and prayer for others. And really, I believe that these are better even than a midweek prayer meeting, because these force us to make prayer a regular part of our everyday life, not just when we're gathering together. So if you want to pray for others at Harvest, take some notes. Here's what you can do. Number one, you can contact our office. And what we're going to do is we're going to send you a weekly prayer list of things to pray for, of requests to pray over. You know, every week we ask you to fill out the Connect form. Let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know if there's any way we can be a blessing and a help to you. When you put in a prayer request, we then send that to other people in the church that want to pray over those requests, that care and want to know. Now, don't worry. We make sure that all of that goes anonymously, so names are taken out, specific details are taken out in order to keep those sensitive prayer requests, the sensitive information, anonymous. But it's just an amazing thing that then you know that you have people, as you fill that out through the Connect form every week, you have people that don't even know you and really don't even know who they're praying for, but they're praying, earnestly seeking God and bringing those requests to the Lord. And we know that God knows and hears those. So that's one thing you can do. You can also go on our website and download our monthly prayer calendar. We put it every month out. We put it on our socials just to remind you, we have a monthly prayer calendar that's coming out. And so today is, we have this monthly prayer calendar that's ready to start for December. And so go on the website, download it, and pray over our ministries, pray over our staff, pray over our church and the members and the attendees of our church, pray over every area, our partners, all of that, all aspects of Harvest. Another thing you can do is you can join a life group. You say, wait, hold on, how does that work? That's not prayer specific. But it does work in the fact that our life groups dedicate specific time in praying to the Lord and bringing certain requests to the Lord every time that they meet, every time they meet. I'm going to get it right. Every time they meet, there it is. In each life group, you know, people get to know each other, and they get to know each other on a more personal basis. And at that point, they begin sharing more things that they need prayer over. They get to know each other on a different level than it would get to know people on just seeing them on Sundays. And that allows them to share those requests in a way that may not be doable with those that you're not connecting and growing in the faith with the same way. And so that's something that you can do. Join a life group. You can see me for that. That's my department. Here's another thing. This one's going to blow your mind. Are you ready for this? Talk to people. That's it. Talk to people. Can we just speak a little honestly here? I know we've been going at this for just over a year, but there's some things that are on my heart, some things I notice, and it's really just out of heart of care and love. Let me say this. Some of you have been here in this church for a few months, some of you for a year, some of you from the beginning, and you still don't really know anybody here. You know, that's hard to see as a pastor, can I tell you that? How are you going to get to pray for others if you don't know anyone else? How are others going to get to pray for you if they don't know you? So do something crazy, whether today or next Sunday or whatever the case is, or maybe just because I said this, you're never going to come again. I don't know. But go and meet people and talk to them. Get to know them. And if you don't want to do that, at least go up to someone random and say, can I just pray for you? Is there something I can pray for you? You know, some request I can bring to the Lord for you. That'll go a long way. And then when you do say you're going to pray for someone, make sure you pray for them. The point is this. When it comes to prayer, there are things that you can do. There are things you and I are not doing right now that we need to do. And can I be honest with you? It takes very little effort. And bonus, because I know everybody's in a tough time right now, it costs you nothing to pray for others. So why not do it? All it takes is for you to care for and to love people. I'll tell you this, our staff, Harvest, our leaders, pray for you regularly. I know this, but we can't be the only ones doing it. We need to be a church all together that prays for one another. Amen? So let's take this verse to heart. As a church, let's be that church that prays continually, yielding ourselves to God, diligently seeking Him, and considering others also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, I pray truly that we would come to you and approach you right now in this time very earnestly, very seriously. Certainly, Lord, it's because we see you and we know who you are. But certainly as well, Lord, it's because you know and see our hearts and know our needs. And Lord, we need you. And we need this church, Lord, that you have placed us in, your church. Lord, I pray truly that we would be transformed by you. But Lord, honestly, there are some things that really need to change in us. Lord, we touched on prayer today, and maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing that you're really working on the heart of some here in this place. Well, maybe it's something else. I don't know what it is. Lord, I just pray that we would commit it to you. And as we've said over and over, that truly we would surrender, that we would truly follow you. It's not just the physical steps that we take to come here on Sunday, Lord. It's those that we take that no one sees, that's just between us and you. And follow you dearly from our hearts. Work in us, Lord. Shape us according to your will. We want to be your church that is constantly on our knees looking to you and following you along.